Ksubis Perek Yud Gimel, Mishnah Zayin. Mishalachim Dinas Hayom, Va'av the Derech Sodeh. We're talking about somebody who has a field. The field is surrounded on all four sides by other people's fields. He really doesn't have access to his own plot of land. What he had to do is he had to buy rights from one of his neighbors in order to access his field. So he has that zchus. He bought the right to walk down a certain path. The problem is he went away for a while. He was holach l'mdinas hayom, va'av the derech sodeh. Now it's nishtakach, since he hasn't been walking there, he doesn't know which is the access road. So he has schusim, he has a right to walk in one side in order to get to his field. He doesn't know where. Now there's different ways, different scenarios of who he has to deal with. If all four sides are owned by four different people, obviously each one could tell him, amaytzi mechavel v'raya. Not only that, the Gemara discusses a case, what happens if all four sodois were owned by one person? Usually it should be that way. We're talking about, well, why does the person have one plot of land in the middle of all four sides? It's a strange tzir. So normally the way it's going to happen is that the whole thing was one plot of land. It was one particularly valuable piece in the middle that was sold off for a lot of money, but it's really naturally in the middle of somebody else's estate. So that person had to provide, when he sold off that valuable place, that valuable field in the middle of the estate, the whole thing is a woods, a lot of open area, and there's one spot in the middle which is particularly valuable as a farm. So he sold it to somebody, there's a farm in the middle over there, and he provided him, as part of the sale, with access. Now, what happened was, the person who had the big estate sold off parcels of land around the farm that's in the middle. There are four people now on four sides, but it wasn't that way originally. They're all coming mikoyach echot. It's harboha boyim mikoyach echot. The halacha is over there also. Now, each one is the owner. Each one says to him, he's going to have to buy a new road because each one is going to say, the flip side is that they're still owned by one person, all around. If that's the case, then Fashtetzach, that he has a right to tell, listen, Hezekiah, you sold me a road. You want to tell me it's that it was here, there. Vindishvi, you're holding on to an access road of mine. So you're going to have to either tell me where it is, or you're going to have to replace it with another one. That for sure is a valid taina. So the case of Al Mishnah is not any one of these three cases. It's not a case of Shalom Demechod. It's not Arbo. It's owned by four people. It's not Arbo, where it used to be owned by one person. What's the case of Al Mishnah? Bichad Habo Me Arbo. Here's the catch. The catch is, it was originally owned, it's a strange case, it was owned on all four sides by four people, where, in that case, they would all four tell Mamasim Chavel Varai. The thing is that they sold all their fields around to one person. The whole estate is owned by one person now, except for that plot in the middle. He comes back and he goes over to the one person and says, look, you're holding on to an access road of mine. That already you can hear. Lemaisa, that guy is the owner of all four sides. He's definitely the bailim of where our friend in the middle has the access road. Admin oimer yelech biktzoro. Admin agrees with the taina. The one person who owns now the whole surrounding area has to give him an access road. Novos. Admin says, Biktzora, Yelich Biktzora. He could give him the least pleasant, the least travelable one. The three sides are straight, and there's nice scenery. It's pleasant. It's also easy access to the river to draw water, etc. The fourth side is bumpy. It's full of stones. It's longer or shorter, whatever, depending on which one is a Maila. It's a harder access road. He can say, but he definitely has to provide him. No. He's going to have to buy, Chacham said, very tziudik. He's going to have to buy at full value a road. He'll have to fly. He'll have to go on a glider and fly in and land over there. It means he's stuck. Now, Shal's why? Because there's no amaytzi mechavel v'raya. The Rishonim are very troubled. There's a svara that the Rishonim say, which is a Gemara, where one person bought from another and there's a schus that a third party has access, or shibudim, or a schus guvaina that he has on the first party. So he goes to the second person. And the second person tells them a Loshon like this, Ishaskis Shaskis, either you accept the situation for what it is, you're quiet, Loshon Shtika, V'loim Mahadrano Shtor L'morayu, V'loim Motzis L'shtayu Dine Badayu. If not, I'll return the sale to the original owners. In this case, the one guy who owns all the surrounding area says, I'll return all the Shtoras, I'll sell all the fields back to the original owners, and then you'll be stuck. So merely you're stuck. I say he didn't return the fields to the owners. So some Rishonim, there's a Gemara also, this type of Loshon, it shows up in Bava Kama Dav Ches, Legabe Eschus Gvir, not Legabe Rights. And Rishonim say that over here, Moedi talking the Loshon, the Gemara is Labdavka. Over there, the Gemara means it for real. Over here, the Gemara just means to bring out a point. When this person bought the first plot of land, from on the north side, from the person who owned it, he bought it with a schus that he buys the entire field. Now at that point, there's no way that our friend who has the farm in the middle could have ever proven against him that it's an access road that's owned and owed by him on the north side. So Melo, when he bought the field on the north side, he bought it with a schus that he has the field complete without giving access to the guy in the middle. And the same is true when he bought on the south side, and when he bought on the east side, and when he bought on the west side. Each side, the mechira and the schus that he had in it was a complete schus because there's amay tzimicha v'alveraya. Now, at the end of the day, mathematically, it has to be on one side. So this is a principle that you find. It's in the fourth parak in Yevamos, and it's in that sugi in Bava Kama, where amay tzimicha v'alveraya is not just a tactic, but amay tzimicha v'alveraya defines the schus that a person has in the chosim. That even now, if there's a reason why there isn't a tain of Hamayt Zimichav Avarai over here, Mamanav Shach, he definitely owes him. But since he had the schus in a property, in a field, in money, without the ability of somebody who's placing a claim to actually process that claim, the din is that he has that schus. It's a difficult concept. Reb Shimon, other Achronim, Mutra exactly how to understand it, but that's the concept of Shteito. And it's a concept that's in the Schadish here, in the Chachomim, and that's why it's accepted la'alocha, because again, the Mishnah doesn't say over here that the halacha is like Admon. Mishnah Ches, Hamoitzi shtar choyv al chaveroi, Reuven pulls out a shtar and says that Shimon owes him $100. V'alo, hoitzi shemochol lo'es hasodah. He pulls out a shtar that says that Yenis sold him a field for this and this amount of money, and the money was paid after the time of the choyv. That means like this. Reuven pulls out a shtar choyv that says that on January 1st, Shimon borrowed from him $100. He's now coming into Bezin March 1st. Says Shimon, I paid the chayv. Now, normally Reuven has a shtar. We have what we call in the Gemara shtar chav yadim aboyev. Why would Reuven have a shtar? It's a raya that the chayv was not paid. If you want, pull out a shoiver that'll prove, a receipt that'll prove that you paid. He says, I have a receipt. Here's my receipt. He pulls out a shtar that says that the very same moicher sold him a field on February 1st. And he says, why would you be doing business and selling me a field if there was an outstanding chayv? You'd be goyvi your chayv and then you do business. There's outstanding money between us. Hey, you're a shtar, and you're writing on the shtar, okay, it sold for $100, I'm paying you $100, as if that $100 doesn't exist anymore. Vice versa, the $100 was paid. The taina is a taina. It's not muchrach, but the taina is a taina. The pashto says it means they moved on, if the chayv was paid. So Advan Oimer, that's his tiny. Yochel hu, the loive sheyoymer, ilu hayisi chayv lecho, if the chayv would still be outstanding, hoy lecho lipora es sholcho, kishemachati les asoda. You would have, for the $100 that I gave you, that $100 you would have claimed the chayv. You wouldn't have given me a field for that $100. I owe you $100. Elamai, I didn't owe you $100. Tiny is a tiny. Vachom moimrim, I'll be doiche. I just want to point out, there are a few of the machleksin over here along the list of the admin and the chachamim that sound a little bit similar. We had a few mishnayis ago where somebody was signed on a shtar. Reuven was signed on a shtar between Shimon and Levi. You want to take that as an admission that Reuven, hoidos baldin, that Reuven is schaiv, sold something. So we said, no, there's a way out of it. The pashtus avad, they signed his name, he was moid. But there's a way out of it over here also. Adam is saying the raya is a raya. The Chacham says there's a way out of it. What's the way out? Here's his taina. The Malva says, yes, I did tell you, Phil. Do you know why? I know that you're a person I can't trust to pay a chayv. So you know what I did? Zehoyi pikech, I took $100 and I put a karka biyodecho. I took your $100. I gave you the karka. I'm a pekeach shemochel is a karka that he sold in that piece of land. Now I have a concrete address where to collect my chayv, what to take as a guarantee, as a mashkin, that my chayv will be paid. Till now, you didn't have assets. So I lent you $100. Then I was thinking, you know, it's a little bit nice for me. I lent you $100. How am I going to get it back? So I did was I sold you then. I got my $100. And now I'll come after the field. I have an address where I can go. And I know the field belonged to me all the years. So Mamela, because of that, it's not muchrach that there's a hoidos madin that the chayv was paid. Now the Gemara makes one very basic point. There are different ways that sales are done on a piece of land. Some places, you sign a shtar on the karka, and then after that, money goes from the hand of the lekeach to the hand of the moicher. If that's the case, so then over here you can hear machlokes. But what happens if it's in a place where the general minig is that the money is handed over, lekeach pays, and then the shtar is written. Until the shtar is written and the sale is effected, the money or the money is a mashkin, it's put in escrow, or maybe that the mois is mois mechira and the shtar is only what's written l'raya. Either way, in a place where the minig is that the lekech hands over the money first, what should the moicher have done? Make cheshbonis with a mashkin, with having a place. As soon as I handed you $100, you should have taken the money, you should have turned around and thumbed your nose and said, now I'm not selling you the karka, you owe me the $100. Why didn't you do that? Chacham would be moicher, that would be a raya. That would be considered hoidos baldin. In a case where shtar mechir is written and then the money is given over, so the reason why you did it is because I couldn't get, the moicher says, I couldn't get the money out of you until I wrote the shtar mechir. The Gemara does add that Admin holds that the taina of the Chacham is not a taina, because then he should have gone, we had this taina a few mishnayos ago, he should have gone, he should have written up a shtar medor, betzim, I'm not selling him the field, I'm collecting a choyf. The only way for me to get $100 from him is by going through a bogus shtar mechir on another piece of land. I have no intention of selling him the field. He should have written a shtar medor, and if he didn't, that's a raya that he taka did sell the field. Mishnah Tes. Mishnah Tes is really a continuation of Mishnah Ches, the same idea. Two people have shtar choyves. Here's the case. Reuven pulls out a shtar choyv that says that Shimon borrowed from him $100 on January 1st. Reuven is waving the shtar in front of the Bezdin. Shimon doesn't have a shoyver to prove that he paid. He's claiming that he paid. Reuven says, shtar choyv, my boy. Shimon doesn't have a shoyver. Reuven's right. But Shimon pulls out a shtar choyv that says that the day before that loan was due, for instance, the shtar was written on January 1st, but it says that the loan is due and Reuven can collect it from Shimon on February 1st. Okay. Shimon now is waving in front of the Bezin a shtar that says that on January 31st, Reuven borrowed from him money. So why would Reuven borrow from me money if the next day he could collect his choyv? I'll tell you what happened, Shimon says. I taka borrowed, I paid back on January 15th, I taka don't have a shoyver, kasha v'maisa, and now he borrowed back that same sum of money for me. The time is a good time. Ad menoy me'ilu ayisi chayv l'cho. If I would have been chayv to you, kete not to leave me money, why would you borrow from me? Elamai. I didn't owe you money. The money was paid, now you borrowed that money back. V'acham moimrim. We're not misspoke from the title. Why not? So the Gemara narrows down where the discussion is. Kedarkum, Shalai Gemara. In a case where, we just said a case where Reuven borrows money from Shimon, the shtar was on January 1st, the loan was due on February 1st, Shimon pulls out a shtar choyv from January 31st. So the Gemara says like this. If Reuven had pulled out the shtar choyv that says January 1st, February 1st, and Shimon pulled out a shtar choyv that was written on February 2nd, there it's poshut the taina zeh taina. If the money wasn't paid, it's a double poshut. I mean, you could take that very same sum of money right now back from me. You have a shtar. Why would you borrow that from me? That's poshut. If it was a long time before, for instance, Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, January 1st, but the loan was due only at the end of the year, on December 31st. Shimon pulls out a shtar that Reuven borrowed from him money on June 1st. That means he needed a long-term loan. He needed a short-term loan. One's not done on the other. The case is the way we described it, where it's mamish on the next day. What the Gemara calls, they're arguing whether Ovid Inish Lil Vois Liyom Echad. Is it likely that Shimon lent money to Reuven for one day until Reuven could collect his chayv? No, that's already pushing it. So if it was Tech's man, it's not a machlokes. If it was Lacha's man, it's not a machlokes. The shell is only on that day. The Gemara is a similar concept. You have Bava Basu Dafei, where the Gemara says that if Reuven comes in the Bezin with a shtar chayv, with Edim, that says that Shimon borrowed money from Reuven for a year, and he doesn't bring the Edim into Bezin after the year. He brings the Edim into Bezin 6 months before the loan is due, and Shimon says, I paid. We're not mekabel tanya of paraiti on a choiv, which is teich zmanoi. It's chazok, ain't adam pered to choiv teich zmanoi. And the Gemara has a machlokes whether that svara is true biyoimo. So you can have a similar machlokes. How likely is it, how mistaber is it, that a person has mamish one day before the choiv is due, that he goes and borrows for one day? No. Yesh lodin might be a similar svara, but that's where the machlokes is over here.